Those who have read the Sri Bhaktisiddhanta Vaibhav, a book which I was fortunate enough to be engaged in the service of compiling, will see that in the festivals at the Gauriyamath during the time of Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, they had speaking all day. That was the main kirtan. They'd have different people speaking throughout. They'd have other things going on also, but speaking Hari Katha was Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur's. That was his particular thrust of his kirtan, which he engaged others in doing also. Yeah. So the festival is going on today. Yesterday, Jagannath Rath Yatra festival. Today, Barnihati Chira Doi Mahotsav. The festival means very happy. Everyone's very happy, very joyful. Particularly joyful. In the Bhagavatam, it's stated that Krishna himself is an eternal festival because what he's doing is always blissful. And in this material world, those who worship Krishna, they're always engaged in a festival. Always singing, dancing, chanting, feasting, being happy. And people, just like yesterday, where they're Rath Yatra, the people going past in cars, many of them acknowledged the happiness, they appreciated that. There are many festivals that materialistic people observe also, in which they sing and they dance and they have pageants and they dress in festive clothes and they do various things for happiness and they feel happy. What is the difference between a festival in Krishna consciousness and a festival in materialistic consciousness? Materialistic people, they probably don't see any difference. They think, well, that's if there was a Brazilian type carnival going down the street, people would also smile and wave, and they don't see any difference. Maybe they recognize that this is something religious, but for most people that doesn't mean a lot. Just they're smiling because we're smiling and we're happy. So what's the difference? Well, of course, we don't have alcohol enough. I mean, usually in the materialistic festivals, they become happy and they loosen up for dancing by drinking some alcohol, and they have almost naked women dancing around. So that helps to make the materialistic people feel more happy. So there's a difference. But the intrinsic difference is between a Krishna conscious festival and a materialistic festival is Atendriya Priti Vancha Tare Bale Kam Krishnendriya Priti Icha Dhare Premanam. And this is the difference between Krishna consciousness and materialistic consciousness, and the difference between devotees and non-devotees is that a non-devotee, they simply do everything for their own sensual pleasure. That is called kam, or material desire. Even those who are superficially trying to get free from sensual enjoyment so that they can merge into some impersonal light, impersonal Brahman, they're also indirectly on the platform of Atendriya Priti Vancha, of enjoying their senses. Or rather, they have seen that sense enjoyment brings no pleasure, and therefore they want to switch off sense enjoyment. So it's all on the basis of my senses. Either I will enjoy my senses, or I see that my senses don't give any pleasure, so just switch it off. But the attitude of devotees is completely different. The attitude of devotees is, may Krishna be satisfied. Let us do everything to satisfy Krishna. So that is the difference between material desire and prema, love of Krishna. As long as there is one, there cannot be the other. If there is Krishna Prem, then there's no question of material sense gratification. If there's material sense gratification, there's no question of love of Krishna. So this is the barometer to see, or the measure, to see how... how we are actually in Krishna consciousness. Do we have sound now? Can everyone hear? How we are in Krishna, are we in Krishna conscious or not? Are we doing everything for Krishna's pleasure? Because even in these festivals, if we think, I will go and I will be happy, that's not exactly the Krishna conscious attitude. I was in Bangladesh for several years, so there were many festivals organized by not ISKCON devotees, but because the culture of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Gauriya culture, is the predominant culture among the Hindus in Bangladesh. So that culture is there, but not the culture of hearing as our acharyas speak. Hearing is there. People will come and listen to katha of pastimes, but no philosophy, or at least not the philosophy, hardly any philosophy, but or helping people to understand what actually Vaishnavism is. Just mostly speaking pastimes, as if everyone is already on the completely pure platform, all they already understand all the principles, which of course they don't. And no speaking in such a way that people can distinguish Maya from Krishna consciousness. And so in people's minds, the two never get separated. For them, Krishna consciousness is another form of enjoyment. Not that they think of it as a gross form of enjoyment, but because they have no discrimination between spiritual and material, then they take that, the materialistic person takes everything to be for their own enjoyment. And thus, any religious function, such as the professional Nam Kirtans they have, the professional groups are called to perform, just like they have big concerts here, and then the rock groups will go from place to place in America. And they'll have a two-hour gig or a three... How long is a gig? 2 hours? 3 hours? Something like that. So the professional groups in Bengal, they also have their two-hour gig or three-hour gig. And they go around from place to place. And there are professional speakers who go from place to place. And the participants, the people who come, they measure how good the kirtan is, the kirtan group is, or the speaker is, by how much they appreciate it. Right. Yeah, it was really good, wasn't it? Ah, bah, ki ananda, ah, how enjoyable. How much I enjoy it becomes the measure of the worth in the minds of the participants, how much I enjoy it, becomes the measure of the supposed bhakti. But it's not bhakti. That's not bhakti at all. The enjoyment is certainly there in Krishna consciousness, but if we think, let me participate for my enjoyment, well, that's better than thinking, let me go to the rock concert for my enjoyment. But the principle by which we'll enter into the enjoyment that Krishna and his devotees experience, we haven't grasped that principle. And therefore, even though we may go through, we may enjoy attending a festival, or we may enjoy and think that this is Krishna consciousness. But if the attitude is, if how I can enjoy, we're still in materialistic consciousness, and therefore hearing is required. Hearing is required that everything should be for Krishna's pleasure. So how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is enjoying, how Nityananda Prabhu is enjoying, they're enjoying, but they're in the mood of devotees that Krishna should be pleased. In everything we do, Krishna should be pleased. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, there are several elaborate descriptions of the various preparations which are offered to Krishna, which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was offered as prasad, and if we read them, we might start to salivate and think, sounds pretty good. But we should understand that Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, as a pure devotee, he's not giving that list of foods so that we can become lusty and think how I can enjoy them. But he's giving that list of food for the pure devotees in the same consciousness as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who will appreciate how Krishna has enjoyed. This Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he would always say, I'm a sannyasi, so just give me the simple food. Don't give me all these elaborate preparations. And the devotees would slip them onto his plate while he wasn't looking, just so, and they would say, that oh, you just see how Jagannath has enjoyed. See how Jagannath has enjoyed. And on that basis, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would take prasad. So it's enjoyment, no doubt. No doubt there is only actual enjoyment is in Krishna consciousness. But that enjoyment is of a different quality altogether to that of the gross materialists. It's the difference, in Chaitanya Charitamrita, the difference is compared to that between iron and gold. The desire for personal sense enjoyment, that is like iron. And the desire for Krishna's enjoyment, that is like gold. Of course, there's much greater difference, but it's the example is there that the two are similar. Both iron and gold are similar in that they are metals, but the quality of one is quite different to the other. Gold is valuable, iron is not valuable. Now, in this pastime of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Parnihati, of course that's generally thought to be Nityananda pastime, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came also, and Nityananda Leela is inseparable from Chaitanya Leela. There's Nityananda Prabhu's pastimes are elaborately described in Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat. Later someone separated that out and added three chapters and put the name of Vrindavan Das Thakur on it and called it Sri Nityananda Charitamrita, which is a bogus book. I mean, the parts taken from Chaitanya Bhagavat, that's bona fide, and the rest is written by someone who wanted to promote their own materialistic ideas about Nityananda Prabhu. So, that's described there, Raghunath Das Goswami in his householder life was ordered by Nityananda Prabhu to make a feast for his followers. And then so many other people came and they all joined in. So we see that part of the festival of Nityananda Prabhu is not only that the devotees themselves will take, but let everyone join. Let everyone come and join. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also came and joined, although he was far away in Puri, but he's always present with Nityananda Prabhu. Now, Raghunath Das Goswami, he is the Prayojanacharya. He has more than any of the other six Goswamis, after his accepting formally the position of renunciation, he manifested. The bhava, the mood of a devotee in service to Radha. He has made understood for those who can understand what is the topmost aspiration for the followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Now, Raghunath Das Goswami, while manifesting this in the world, that Varaja Jubati Bhavera Bhakati Shakati Hoitoka, who but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu could explain or make known the feelings of the gopis of Vrindavan. Only Chaitanya Mahaprabhu could do it. But we see that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he did this through Raghunath Das Goswami. So, Raghunath Das Goswami in some sense manifested some very intimate understandings, feelings, which even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu didn't directly do, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna in the role of Radha, or in the mood of Radha, and Raghunath Das is in their eternal position. He is the servant of Radha. So very intimate feelings he has manifested. But Raghunath Das Goswami also, among all the six Goswamis, who are all very renowned, they all came from aristocratic backgrounds. Raghunath Das and Rupa and Sanatan also, they came from extremely wealthy and powerful backgrounds. But they gave it all up. Tyaktva turna mashesha mandala pati shrinin sadat tuchavat, as if insignificant. And lived highly renounced lives. But among them, Raghunath Das, he was the most renounced. To the extent that, first of all, he would, after renouncing his home, living in Puri, he would accept money from his father. But that he used only for the service of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But after some time he gave that up. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu approved that. Then Raghunath Das Goswami would beg in the formal manner. That means that for those who are living as beggars in Puri, they would stand at the gate, and at night there was a fixed time and place where you could get your food for the day. So Raghunath Das would go there. After some time, he gave that up, and he eventually came to the level of taking the rice prasad that, from external perspective, appeared to have been rotten, which even the cows wouldn't take. And he would wash that and take the inner hard portion with a little salt. That became his food. Then after some time, when he went to live at Radha Kunda, there he would eat maybe a little palmful of buttermilk once every 2 days. And that taking, he would rebuke himself that, you see, now I'm engaging in sense gratification just for the sake of this material body. So such renunciation is impossible for any of us, or for anyone else practically in the world today. But to follow in that spirit, to follow in the spirit that how Raghunath Das, all the Goswamis, they were totally renounced from this world. They didn't have any desire for personal sense gratification. They showed us that spirit. And actually, without that spirit, then it's not possible to develop this feelings of intense love for Krishna. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to give the intense love for Krishna, but that doesn't come, in one sense he has given it very easily, But it doesn't come unless one is consciously becoming free from desires for sense gratification. Srila Prabhupada discusses this in the song, in his purport to the song, which he famously sung here, Parama Karuna Pahundri Jana Nitai Goracha. So he explained this line, Bishoy Charya She Roshe Mojya, that there is only one condition. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to give love of Krishna by the very easy process of chanting the names of Krishna, but there is only one condition. One has to give up sense gratification. Not such an easy thing, is it? It's considering that yogis, they detach themselves, I mean, almost literally detach themselves from the world. They literally detach themselves from all that might give them sense gratification. That is, sutta, mitta, ramani, samaja, this society, friendship and love. They go to live in the Himalayas. Recently I was in Britain. It was very cold. And I had a realization, why the yogis go to the Himalayas? Because when you're feeling cold all the time, it's very difficult to get in the mood of sense gratification. No enjoyment. Sitting in a cave, even if you want to eat nice food, there isn't any nice food. What are there? Some berries, some leaves, and giving up eating. Giving up eating means practically they don't eat, and all the time engaged in austerities. But even completely detaching themselves from sense gratification, still, to get free from the desire for sense gratification seems to be very difficult for the yogis. That's the only thing standing in the way of their samadhi or their perfection. So how are we to do so? How can we do so? Well, that's again by the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that one can come to the level of a higher taste. One can appreciate the beauty of Krishna. All the senses can be enlivened by Krishna. But it should be understood that we can't have both at the same time. We can't be the example that we get from Raghunath Das Goswami. Not that we can live as he lived, exactly. But the example we get from him is that we cannot live in both worlds. Raghunath Das was living an opulent life. He left that. Now, it's not that everyone has to leave an opulent life. Ramananda Rai was Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's intimate association. He lived with family and good income, but he was a pure devotee. So it is not only a pure devotee, but a pure devotee on the highest level. So it is possible to live amid all the trappings of this world and be detached from it. But that is the point. One has to be detached from it, because one cannot be an enjoyer of this world and at the same time a pure devotee of Krishna. The two kinds of enjoyment don't mix. So at these festivals, everything, to be truly a festival, Krishna conscious festival, everything should be very clearly for the pleasure of Krishna. That should be the central meditation. How we are all coming together here to serve and to please Krishna. Of course, for the public, we may present it that come, enjoy, be happy, but those who have the inner understanding, they know that we're doing this. It's not that we're all coming together like some Brazilian carnival so that we can enjoy ourselves, but there's a completely different motive, how everything can be done for the satisfaction of Krishna. And that is the whole life of devotees in Krishna consciousness. Without understanding that, things don't work. We can run on temples, we can go through all the formalities of running on temples, but if the spirit of personal sense enjoyment is there, then things don't work properly. People don't become attracted to become devotees. The temple management is full of bickering because everyone's trying to get their own little idea or their own slot or their own advantage through. Only when the spirit of let us do everything simply for the pleasure of Krishna without any personal desire, when that is there, and then that is Krishna conscious, everyone is happy, Krishna is happy, the devotees are happy, other people become attracted, that is Krishna conscious. Without that, then we're in danger of slipping into this, and without speaking about these things so that we clearly understand it, then we slip into the same danger as the Prakriti Sahajiyas of Bengal, who they love to perform kirtan, they love festivals, they're Krishna conscious, but at the same time they don't differentiate between Krishna's pleasure and my pleasure. And therefore, the whole culture of Krishna consciousness in Bengal is permeated. Well, the people, they'll do kirtan and then afterwards they'll smoke and they'll eat fish and so many things. How can they do such things which are so far away from Krishna consciousness? Because they never heard that these things are wrong. Because, well, kirtan is pleasure and eating fish is also pleasure. So such misunderstandings are possible and very likely, and even more likely in this country where there is no culture at all. There's never been any high culture until Srila Prabhupada set his foot on these shores and introduced us to it. So my time's up, and now Bhakti Purushottam Swami will tell us about the bliss. Hare Krishna, please come.